Well, the two greatest commandments, love of God and love of neighbor. We are all, of course, very familiar with these. We've learned about them from our infancy. But perhaps the question that we can ask ourselves today is, how do I evaluate, how do I measure whether I really love God above all things and whether I really love my neighbor as myself? So let's consider those two questions today. And we'll start with the second greatest commandment, loving our neighbor as ourselves, because I think our first reading today really gives us the right measure to use there. And that is, of course, the way in which we treat the poor. Even in the Old Testament, as we hear, God commands his people again and again to show a special love and care for the poor, as we sometimes say, a preferential option for the poor. And so when we ask ourselves, do I really love my neighbor as myself? We ought to say, how do I love and treat the poor? Most of us are aware, of course, that St. Vincent de Paul is like the great patron saint of the poor. But I don't know, have you ever heard the story of how he began to have that special love for the poor? Actually, had to do with his father. When he was a young man, he was in seminary at Paris, and he was, you know, different in his younger years than later. He was very enamored with the culture and the classiness of Paris and all that, and he loved the special deference and honor that he got as being a young cleric there in Parisian society, and he loved to wear the proper attire of the cleric and the elegant life that was part of seminary training as opposed to, you know, the farm where he had grown up. But one day, St. Vincent's father, who was the one paying for his education there at seminary, decided to make a trip in from the farm to visit his son. And when he knocked on the door of the seminary, it was opened by a different seminarian. And he introduced himself and asked to see Vincent. And so the other seminarian went up to Vincent's room and he said, "There's this really smelly old peasant-looking guy outside who talks like a hick and says he's your father. That's not really true, is it?" And Vincent looked out his window, and he could see his father standing down there at the door. He knew who he was, but he said, "No, I don't know who that is." And his father was sent away from the seminary that day without seeing his son to make the hours-long walk back to the farm. Well, it was only shortly after that that Vincent's life changed dramatically, because on his way from making to selling some land that he owned to pay off some debts that he owed, he was captured by pirates, and for months he was a slave until he was able to escape and come back home. And the first thing that he did when he got back home was he went to his parents' house and he fell on his knees before his father and he begged forgiveness. Because now he understood not only how much he had offended his father, but he understood now what it was like to be poor, what it was like to have nothing, to be vulnerable and oppressed. And he understood that he had a double standard when it came to the way that he wanted to be treated and the way that he was treating the poor. And so from that day on, he began to have a special love for the poor. And that is why St. Vincent always said, and indeed, even today, his disciples in all of our parishes, the members of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, always remind us that the poor are not just there as people that we should help. St. Vincent always said, the poor are our masters. The poor are Christ, right? And the way that we treat them shows how we really care about other people. We actually, you're going to hear at the end of Mass today a little speech about Family Promise, which is a ministry here where families who are without housing are given temporary shelter in some of the local churches. And, you know, one of the reasons that we over the years, you know, have been involved in that ministry, and we always have a really difficult time getting volunteers for that, I think one of the reasons is because it's not simply the kind of ministry that you can throw money at. You have to give of your time. You have to give of yourself. Get out of your comfort zone to help someone else. And I'm not pointing any fingers there. You know, I'm just as bad myself about not wanting to give up my own time. You have my schedule interrupted. But Pope Francis has been saying this again and again, that it's not simply good enough to throw money at things, you know, but to live our own comfortable life without being affected by the real problems of other people. But we must be willing to get into the dirt and the messiness of other people's lives and show them that we love them and that we respect them and that they are children of God. So when we ask ourselves, do I really love my neighbor as myself? We have to ask, do I love the poor and how do I love the poor? So that's a way that we can measure that. Now, let's turn to the first and greatest of all the commandments, and that is to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. To love him, in other words, above all things. Back in the days of the Second World War, there was a well-known Cardinal Archbishop of Paris. We're in Paris a lot today for some reason, but Cardinal Soubard, and he used to say, live your life in such a way that it doesn't make sense unless God exists. Live your life in such a way that it doesn't make sense unless God exists, right? That do when other people look at my life, are they forced to say, well, that person must believe in God, or, you know, he or she wouldn't do that, right? Well, how do we measure that? How do we measure whether we really live our lives that way? I think a very simple but very important measure that we can use there are our children. I mean, obviously not all of us have children, but probably all of us have, you know, someone, nieces, nephews, someone in our life that looks up to us, right? Just as in our second reading today, St. Paul says that the Thessalonians have become the model for all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Every one of us has someone in our lives that looks up to us. For most of us, it's our children, maybe our grandchildren as well, right? And so we have to ask ourselves the question, when my children look at my life, would they say that God is first in my life, that he is my number one? I actually just read a very interesting article. I'm thinking of putting it in the bulletin about a study that was recently done on this youngest generation. They're calling them the I generation or I gen because, you know, they're the first generation to really grow up totally immersed in the technology that we have today. Very interesting study, but some very frightening results in the sense that among this youngest generation, there has been a significant increase in the number of them that not just don't belong to any kind of formal religion, but don't even believe in God or consider themselves in any way spiritual. Now, of course, there's lots of reasons for that. The study points those out. We can't just place the blame in one area. But we do have to really ask ourselves the question, why is this happening with our children, and what does it have to do with the way that we parent, the way that we raise them, the way that we live our lives? Would our children honestly say, if we ask them, that God is number one in our lives? Is our religion just something that's tacked on for 1 hour a week? Or is it really central to our identity, central to our daily life? You know, you might even, this week, as you reflect on that question, summon up the courage to ask your children that question, especially if they're older. See what they say. That might be a scary question to ask, but it's an important question to ask. So I think this week we can use these two measures and reflect on these two greatest commandments. Do I love my neighbor as myself? Well, how do I treat the poor? Do I love God above all things? Well, let me not be my own judge, but what do my children think?